You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
God, that was certainly enough to wake you up, wasn't it? Oh, I've got no on-air signal. That doesn't look good. I think I'm broadcasting, but without the on-air. Can someone go and listen to us in the car radio outside and see if we're actually broadcasting anything? One assumes we are, but without the on-air signal, then we might be talking to nobody at all. But we'll persevere anyway with what we've got. Thanks very much to Pete Butchers for Jazz today, and welcome to another issue of From the Terraces with me, Tim Armitage, and...
And Chris. Yeah, we're a couple of people's lights today.
We are indeed, yeah. I don't get this. So Tom's in Belfast expecting a baby, and I think, where's his commitment to the show?
I know.
Come on, Tom.
You know.
Babies aren't a real excuse to stay away from the show.
No, absolutely not.
And then there's Matt, who is, he's at home. So
he's doing something.
He's doing something at home. So
I think he was, as you said, I think he was ferrying someone to and from airports and stuff like that, so... We'll see.
We will indeed. So there you go. And Steve, of course, we haven't got Steve either, but I was going to get him to phone in later on. But the problem is that nobody played this week, so it would have been a bit pointless getting him to phone in again after nearly getting him to phone in last week when nobody had played. There you go. And the big news is, we are broadcasting. That's fine. We have it from the phone out, from the radio outside. We are... Ooh. Don't throw the keys around. But we are definitely broadcasting excellent. So you can get in touch with us and you can email us at terraces@cambridge105.fm. We have Dave Doggett in the studio, as I pointed out on the Twitter feed earlier on. So if you have questions for Dave, then terraces@cambridge105.fm. Or you can go to the website, as Dave did last week. And in the right-hand side, halfway down, there is the Contact the Studio page. That takes you to the a little form you can fill in and leave us a message, or you can text us on 07919 070490. That's mixing O's and zeros. Why do people do that?
I don't know. I got criticised for that.
You did,
before,
you did. 07919 070490. So text, email, or go to the web page and get us. Otherwise, you can reach us on Facebook, which we only look at every so often. So don't use that as a means to get in touch with us.
Lies. We look at it all the time.
Yeah, you do. I don't. So another week where we struggled last week to find things to talk about, and another week where one game, I think, in total, midweek and the end of the week, which was, unfortunately for Histon, a fairly emphatic defeat. Yes. Away up in Ellesmere Port. We'll talk about that later on. We've got some audio from Brian Page from after the Boston game, and we'll have a quick chat about that. Other than that, there was nothing at all to talk about, so I was kind of rather panicking. So texted Dave to see if he had anything for us to talk about. He's kindly agreed to come along, so that's excellent. So we'll come to that as soon as we take this jingle. So there we go. So, unfortunately, no United games this week. We were due at Kiddie on Thursday, and it was postponed. Second pitching section was at 3 o'clock, so before we left, fortunately, it wasn't going to be another bury where we got all the way there. And again, postponed on Saturday, although everyone seemed to figure that was going to disappear. So nothing to talk about from an actual playing front. So we thought we'd get Dave in and just catch up with what's going on at the club, and just to chat about some bits and pieces that I know we've had questions about over the last X number of weeks that we've been in there, so since the season started. So welcome, Dave, and thanks.
Hello.
For joining us.
No problem.
So I guess one of the questions which I tried to raise when we had Jez in, but we were talking about a whole load of other things. I think as a result of the excellent performance to the start of the season, we've gained a number of new fans. The attendance has shown that. And I just thought it might be time just to chat about club ownership and the relationship with the CFU, just so that people understand exactly how things work at the U's.
Yeah, well, the great thing at our club is that anybody can be a shareholder. So, and last year people did through Jez's Walk, and this year a lot of people have actually seen what we're doing, not just on the pitch, off the pitch and within the community, and have actually bought shares. So the number of shareholders is about 1,000, I think.
Excellent. So I mean, they are the owners of the club, the shareholders.
Yeah.
So how does it work? And Cambridge Fans United CFU, how does that fit into the...
They've got about 15% of the ownership.
Okay.
Because quite a few people give them their votes and proxy. So, yeah, past chairmans of like Reg Smart, have just transferred their shares into their custodianship. Because at the end of the day, that's what we all are. We're custodians of the club.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. So, people can just, how do they go about buying shares if they want to invest in the club?
Just come into the ticket office and fill in a form and leave their cheque with us.
And how much are they? What
they're 5p.
5p.
There is a minimum of £100.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's really not worth, not worth doing, is it really? But I think the exciting thing this year is that so many people come in and see us and write into us and are pleased with what we're doing at the club. We're nowhere near there. You know, we're going to have an AGM where we're going to announce a massive loss, well, or a typical loss for this club, which is between £300,000 and £400,000 a year, which is not sustainable.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the development, why we need a new stadium, why we need new facilities.
Yeah.
It's... at this level in football, it doesn't stack up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's not... Well, you can do a simple equation. If you've got, 20 players on 25,000, that's 500,000. The gate receipts last year were 500,000.
Yeah.
So where's the rest of the money come for looking after the stadium, the rent to Grosvenor, playing Richard and all the support stuff? You know, somehow we have to generate 700,000 to 800,000 above what comes through the gate.
Yeah.
And it's a massive challenge.
And we'll be talking about all of that But I just wanted to start with the announcement, I think it was last week now, that Skrill are discutting their ties with the league after only a full year by the time that they get to the end of it. Was that originally that was a longer deal, wasn't it? They've actually got out early from a deal.
No one had heard of Skrill, had they? Before.
No, we had to
get six months ago.
Internet finance company, and that's what we
all had
up
to Google it.
I still don't know what they do, but there you go.
I think in order to close a deal, they said after 6 months you can review how good it is for your business, which was a very silly thing to do on a 3-year deal, because after 6 months they've achieved what they wanted to and haven't had to pay for 3-year sponsorship.
Yeah.
And there was a break clause, and they said, no, we're not going to carry on.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was an interesting announcement. It was. I think they said it wasn't in line with the business as it exists today, and they had other plans. Which when you read things like that, it's always like the special projects type news. It's an excuse rather than anything else.
Well, as I say, it was a very clever negotiation, but it's been good. They put money into the league. It's like today what Budweiser have announced, they're coming out of the FA Cup. You know, they're not going to sponsor that.
Yeah, I saw that.
And again, it's achieved its aim, hasn't it? As a company, they've raised the profile of Budweiser again, associated with sport. Now they pull out, and no doubt someone else will come in, because there's still good competitions. But it's very difficult, isn't it? You're relying on companies... You know, and as the economy is recovering, more and more people will want to get involved again.
So how difficult will it be for the conference to actually find another sponsor?
Yeah, they'll find one.
Yeah?
Yeah. They'll, okay. You know, it's the same throughout. You know, we've had difficulty over the last few years because we haven't looked after our sponsors. So a lot of our sponsorship disappeared. And the reason was that the club wasn't looking after the sponsors. So Marshall Group, biggest employer in the town, apart from the universities, didn't like doing business with us.
Yeah.
You know, 10 days ago we announced a partnership with them where they're actually going to fund a youth club in Abbey Ward. And so that's going to be underneath the south stand, and the players will come along, and hopefully out of that some youngsters will benefit. for the Chester match they want to sponsor. But it's all about talking to people and getting some confidence back in what you're doing. We had a bad reputation as a club, you know, there's no doubt about it. And we're having to repair all that damage, and it's taken a long while to do.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I know the Mick George sponsorship's been, you know, very high profile from the club.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not just a name on a shirt, but other things that have been going on. There's the skip challenge in the middle of the pitch, which is always entertaining halfway. And it's one of those things. I mean, I was trying to think, could I pick off shirt sponsors from previous years?
Yeah, Green King.
Probably Green King. Yeah. But that was some time ago. But I couldn't pick off last year's. Who was that?
Last year was Everyone Active,
which looked after the local
swimming pools, but they've actually now changed the name and changed what they're doing. But Mick George, they found it absolutely fantastic promoting their business, and now they've just signed a deal with Peterborough as well.
Oh, right, excellent.
So they've actually, and they love the skip challenge, and they love the fact that, again, it's a positive contribution to the community.
Yeah, and I think we'll talk a bit more about Cambridge United in the community later on, but I think that's one of the things that, you know, certainly I came back from Australia about three years ago now, and picked up where I left off with Cambridge United. And it's one of the things that's, sort of, you know, that's impressed me over the last couple of years is the level of community involvement. I mean, you know, I know that the website's out there to promote the club, but never a day goes by without something going on in the community. I mean, yesterday they were announcing the soccer for tots for 16 months to 4 or 5 year old. Yeah. I think it must have been
exactly. It's, on Tuesday we've got the David Ball Group that helped sponsor the Homeless World Cup, and we provided the referees for that. You know, so every month we do a seniors lunch where we're getting 40-50 people who actually go into the gym and do a bit of a workout before they come for lunch, and then I do the bingo after lunch.
I'll be able to get along.
I know. Well, I qualify in several ways because I'm old enough to go. But they love it. You know, there's not enough going on for people. And there's something as a football club we can do. And people appreciate it. And they go away and tell their friends or their grandchildren. And then that helps the whole community feel.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things as a community radio station. We have that same charter to get out there in the community. And you know, I think most of the stuff that happens locally around here, certainly Mill Road and everywhere else, we're always down there with an outside broadcast unit doing something.
Yeah.
It is good to see. Okay, so the league structure. There's been. Not controversy. There's been a point made just recently that, and I was looking at other leagues, and it does seem to be strange that we seem to be, and this isn't due to postponements, this is actually league scheduling, that we're playing some teams twice in the second half of the year. And it's kind of like, I thought it was a given that you play everyone once and then you start on the second round of fixtures. Mm-hmm. Is this unusual to this year, or is this something that's happened before?
Well, you could say it's a nice quirky bit of the conference, but the general secretary goes to Portugal and sits there in a nice little place and spreads all the teams out and actually comes up with the fixtures manually.
Really?
Yes.
Two questions you begged there. One is, why does he have to do it in Portugal?
Yeah.
Nice place to go.
Nice place.
Secondly, I think computers are the way forward nowadays,
exactly.
Aren't they, surely?
And at a recent meeting of the conference, particularly with the North and South, they don't actually put in any midweek games early in the season.
Yeah.
So they don't actually have a Tuesday fixtures in September and October when the pitches are good.
Yeah.
They cram them into the second half of the year, and they were saying, and so that has been changed. At the same meeting, we were talking about the trophy, which if you get knocked out, you can lose games because your opponents might be playing on a Saturday. So there is a push to move that towards a Tuesday competition. So there are, it needs changing. The whole thing needs to be modernised and people to look at the real opportunities. And there's some terrific work that's done in the conference with their community funding and a lot of clubs benefit from that, and a lot of communities benefit from that. You can, you know, get funding, you know, and we're trying to do that with landlord Grosvenor, you know, with the sporting village and the new stadium, and that would make a massive difference to us as a club. The more people we can get out and involve in sport, but all the time you're battling against, we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
And we need to get that change. And yeah, the trophy, now we're in the semi-final, is a brilliant competition, you know, but for other clubs where we've had to rearrange games and that, is knocking them.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why it shouldn't be promoted like the Carling Cup as a Tuesday competition and get people going.
Yeah.
At Eastleigh, yeah, they thought they might get 2,000 people there because it was a Saturday. What, we took nearly 250 people of Eastleigh and brought 500. And so it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So you've got to look at how you raise the profile and how you actually get people excited.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because we've spoken about this a number of times, is that Saturday football is very different from midweek floodlit football. Mm. And there is, I got the mickey taken out of me. I always think there's something magical about football, yeah, under floodlights, and it doesn't matter if it's cold and wet.
Yeah.
There's just something about it that it kind of lends itself to perhaps a stage that isn't going to be as well attended.
Well, you can't see the people who are there, can you?
Yeah.
So, or not there, as it was last year. But no, on a midweek night fixture, I often stand at the Newmarket Road end with the floodlights on with no one in the ground and think, great, this is what it's all about. And you know within an hour there will be 2,000, 3,000 people there, and the whole thing is a great experience. And that's what football's about. It's about the unknown, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I see the opposition players come off the pitch, off the coaches, and some of them you know now, and you know, and they look at the stadium and think, crikey, this is a proper football ground, you know, proper lights, you know, not some candle stuck in the corner.
Have we got the tallest floodlights in the country?
That is my understanding.
Someone's came up with this one last week.
Really?
Apparently, the floodlights in Cambridge. I presume they mean the tallest freestanding ones, because presumably if you go to somewhere like the Emirates where they're on top of the roof, obviously it doesn't mean that. But someone told me last week we've got the tallest freestanding floodlights in the country. There you go.
There we are.
And that causes problems because they have to be inspected and painted and all sorts of things. But
fancy that job.
When you're going to a away match, you used to look for floodlights, didn't you?
Yeah,
now,
that's true.
All you have to see if you can see a glow, and you know, so it is all of that excitement. That's why that's why we love the game.
Yeah,
and it's how you actually, the support from the conference is okay-ish, but in money terms, it's worth $60,000 a year. If you go up a league, by the time you've got the support for youth and community and the club, is worth somewhere over 800,000-900,000. Now, on a turnover of 1.4 million, that is quite significant.
Yeah.
And that's why people gamble.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they've got to do is stop it becoming a gamble. And that's why you need three up, three down, you know, into the second. Because I don't know whether you saw Newport's AGM finance for last year. They lost about 400,000. And that was going to the playoffs as well. So they went through the most financially beneficial route.
Yeah.
And their chairman, who'd won the Euro lotteries, had funded players to the tune of 400,000 on top of that. And the prize equals that.
Yeah, yeah.
But look at the clubs that have gone out of existence trying to get that prize. And that's, I'm not willing to do that with this club.
No, I mean, as you say, it must be very tempting to throw money at it when the money's there. I mean, I can remember because I grew up in Manchester and I used to go and watch Altrincham as a boy, and that was one of the problems Altrincham always had, because that was back in the days when it wasn't even guaranteed one person would go up. It was always done on an election process, and the number of times that Altrincham really deserved to get up and were kept out by people who, you know, for various reasons didn't want, you know, the old boys club, they didn't want to be voting them themselves down next year in case they had a bad year. And Altrincham were always saying that it's ludicrous, that it's not a, it's not a straightforward up and down process.
You look at it this year, you know, Wrexham lost again yesterday. Last year they really threw the money at it, you know, and now this year they're in the bottom third and struggling now, and they won the trophy last year, so, and the trophy is the most financially beneficial of the trips to Wembley, because playoffs, half the proceeds are divided by to every club.
To every club, not just... Okay.
So you only get a proportion of it, whereas the trophy, the highest proportion goes to the two clubs because you've won your way through. And that's when people... sort of say, and there's still people on the message board sort of saying, tin pot. Well, a tin pot competition that could net you 200,000, 250,000 when the previous year you're going to lose in excess of 300 is hardly tin pot to me.
Yeah.
And if you're a supporter of a club, then surely you want them to be successful. Yeah. When did we last have a trophy?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's kind of got the, you know, it's the League Cup of the lower leagues, and you know, people treat the League Cup as a chance to play reserves, and you know, but I'm looking forward to Wembley.
I can't wait to get out to Wembley. How many times do our squad, or a magnificent squad, have the opportunity to play at Wembley?
Yeah.
Now, if you play it right, York City were in the trophy final. And they said to their players, look, just go and enjoy the day. Take your cameras and pretend you're superstars and what have you. If we come back here for the playoff, then you're coming in tracksuits. You are going to be focused. Enjoy the trophy, and they won the trophy. Went to the playoffs and won the playoffs. Now, so you use it as a practice.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's
therefore,
true,
you know, stop dismissing it.
Yeah.
Now, I know... Yeah, because it's one or two people on the message board that love to dismiss it, but you have to be a bit realistic on message boards. The only way I cope with being a chairman of this football club is that we're a community, it's like a village. And at one end of the spectrum, I've got some great people, you know, who totally support everything we do and go for it. You've got people who could probably go to church and don't believe, and at the other end, you've got the guys... In my days, used to be mods and rockers that just want to fight. And so, therefore, it's a community. But don't assume that because 20-odd people keep going on the message board that that is the voice of the supporter. The number of supporters who've written into me, thanking me and the board for what we're doing, thanking for keeping this club alive, thanking us for giving us pride, proud, they can be proud in what we've achieved this year.
Like,
for so many years, we've been so... negative about this club, and we've failed. This time last, you know, at the end of last season, we ended up with 59 points. We've got 57 at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, so let's look at it and say, we're not there yet. You know, when a year ago, I looked at the problem with Cambridge United and thought, easiest thing is to close it down, because it was that big a challenge. Now we're getting people back through the gates. It makes it a lot more you keep going, because this time last year Alfreton 1600 so it'll be interesting to see how many we get on Tuesday night, because that will start to show, and a lot of it's down to the success, but then that's what the business is about, so you have to look at it as a project going forward. And it's, you know, unless you're lucky enough to have someone come in with several million, it ain't going to happen. So the guy after the Grimsby match who shouted at me and said it was my fault we wouldn't get promoted because we hadn't bought Maxwell, I said to him, well, have you got your chequebook with you? Give me 100,000. And I said, that wouldn't get us Maxwell now. Because I said, Fleetwood aren't selling. Fleetwood aren't loaning him out. So forget it.
Yeah.
Get real. But you can still give me that cheque for 100,000. And that is the point. You can't, if you want me to, well, we can't do it. We haven't got the money. You know, we're trying to do it in a steady progression going forward. And that's what people need to accept. And hopefully next Saturday, Grimsby fans went to Wembley last year. And this year, they're only selling to season ticket holders at the moment for next Saturday's game here, because there's so much interest.
Yeah.
That's the difference. They went and had a great day out. They lost, but they loved it. And if you can't think winning a trophy is something positive, not just financially, but to be able to say, we won the cup, what is the whole thing about?
Yeah. So here's the interesting comments that have been made about the draw. Yeah. And obviously we've got Grimsby and it's Gosport versus Havanton, Waterlooville and the other. So, which you look at and think, okay, well, you'd look at this and go, well, this is the real final, but of course it's not, it's the semi-final. And you look at, you know, then people say, oh yeah, but it's going to be really miserable because there's going to be nobody there at the final because we're going to end up playing whoever it is. And you think, well, but isn't that's the magic of the cup, that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
So no one turned up when Wimbledon got there in the final. No, Havanton Waterloo is 2 miles from Portsmouth. Portsmouth having a wretched season. Don't you think the people of Havanton around Portsmouth will actually probably take 7,000 or 8,000 people along to have a day out? You know, for goodness sake, you know. Obviously, it wasn't, the ideal draw, and the FA phoned me up on Friday to sort out ticketing arrangements if we managed to get through and which end do we want and all that sort of thing. And they were disappointed because they know there might not be as many as if it was a Cambridge Grimsby. It's a cup final.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get real. Yeah. Enjoy it.
As you say, it doesn't even matter who it doesn't matter who we're going to play there. It's just going to be nice to go there and win it.
No one can tell me the last silverware. I think it was 1989 or something, the third division championship.
Yeah.
And previous to that, it's the Cambridge Invitation Cup or the Cambridge Professional Cup. No wonder we got rid of the trophy cabinet because we haven't won anything.
That's even worse than Arsenal's record. Yeah. I know.
But they're saying something.
But that's surely. Just enjoy it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if the players, if the players are winning, don't they deserve to get the support from the people of Cambridge to try and get to Wembley? They're given heart and soul this year, this squad. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take just a quick break and we'll come back to this discussion. If I can find the right mouse in a second or so.
Is it that? Is it?
Community radio in your city.
And we're back after that little jingle. So just kind of picking up on, moving forward and picking up on some of the points, obviously one of the difficulties, I mean, the weather has been the real winner in the last few weeks in terms of the number of games that have been off, not just for us, but for everybody. In terms of club finances, how much of a problem is the weather causing the club?
Well, the only one we've lost was Grimsby. And that was because they were in the third round of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So from our point of view, we actually haven't lost income. And, of course, having Sheffield United and getting through into the trophy, if it happened last year, it would have been disastrous.
Yeah.
But this year, it's a struggle. But then compare it with poor old Braintree, who haven't had a game on since the 28th of December.
I've still got my Braintree tickets pinned to the side of the fridge waiting for that away game.
So their cash flow is appalling.
Yeah.
Hereford have only got one game in February, and they've just been making people redundant, backroom staff and all that sort of thing. And so it will, as I say... We're not there, but getting through the semi-finals obviously means we're in a better position than we were. And this is, that's why I'm hoping for a big turnout next week. Because it is, that would make the difference. Last year we made a loss. A lot of the cash from the season tickets was used up before the season started. Ideally, you want to be able to release that in over the every month of the season so that you're actually getting 25,000 cash flow coming in plus your matches. If you don't get a match, this time last year against Alfreton, we banked £7,000 after that match. Right?
Yeah.
7,000. What does that pay for? Yeah, it doesn't pay for anything. This year, because we've been successful, gates have gone up, we've done much better on the commercial side, but we're reaching a ceiling because I haven't got any more space to sell.
Yeah.
Hospitality is sold out, the bar is rammed, before and after the game. Well, after the game, if we've won, people disappear if you lose. and we're getting it out. But there is a limit to how much I can generate. And therefore, and looking, Grosvenor have been brilliant. They only charged us. They didn't charge us the full rent last year. This year they're charging $100,000. Next year they want $250,000. So somehow I've got to keep generating enough money to keep ahead of the game, and that's why I need the councils to start being positive, supporting us, and either develop the Abbey or give us a stadium. You can't keep doing it in something that is so old.
Yeah. And how much of a difference has the BT money made then to the club this year?
Well, we've been on twice, haven't we?
Yeah.
So that's 14,000.
Okay.
Which in my terms is part way towards a player.
Yeah.
Every bit of extra money I do in terms of player and how much we could afford to spend. But you don't have to be a genius, as I say. If you've got 20 players on 25,000, that's 500,000, and the gate receipts are about that much.
Yeah.
The rest has to be generated. And that's how, you know, that's why we've taken net commercial income up from a 10-year average of about 230. We're nudging 500,000, because somehow I've got to keep bringing that income in.
Yeah, yeah. And just on the commercial side, I mean, I noticed that obviously shirt sales this year have been unbelievable, and you've sold out.
I've sold out.
And I noticed, because I was trying to get one for Joe, and you were saying that because the new kit will obviously be out next year, you don't really want to bring in a whole load of kit.
I wanted to be fair to the fans, to be honest. If, again, the first year I was here, we actually sold 700 shirts at car boot sales and given away for a fiver, because no one wanted them.
Yeah.
Last year, we did quite well. And so this year, based on that, I ordered the same amount. And then we started getting successful, and everyone likes a Puma. So we ordered another 350, and they sold.
Yeah.
Now, that's a success story, because it means I'm not going to be at car boots selling them off at a fiver. So what we've done with Puma is we've already sorted out next year's kit. And the first year I was here, I think the previous year's kit arrived in the October, so they weren't even here for the start of the season. This year they're going to be here on the 5th of May.
Okay.
So that if we, you know, they will, we're going to have a weekend end of May, 23rd, 24th. On the Sunday daytime, we're going to have a marquee in the car park that hold up to 500 people, and have a presentation, family presentation. Okay. So we'll do lunches there, get people and get all the presentations, launch the new kit and get everybody involved. On the Saturday night, Dion Dublin is going to do his Ball of Sound in the same marquee, and we're looking at various things to do on the Monday. But you just sort of think, the season's finished. So 23rd, 24th, the playoffs would have been on the 18th. So get all the players there, and at the end of the day, we'll look back on a season, hopefully a successful season.
Yeah, excellent.
But that's another way of getting more income in. But I can't afford to get 2,000 shirts just in case.
Yeah,
just not practical, really.
So, I mean, as I said, the weather's been the big winner here.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're quite lucky that the pitch at the Abbey is stunning, and it certainly seems to be streets ahead of virtually every pitch I've seen this year. I mean, the ground staff obviously work very hard at keeping it that way.
Yeah.
Is there something to be said? I mean, how are we managing to keep the pitch? So, I mean, obviously, part of it is that we haven't had too many games at home, of course, at the moment.
Not too bad, really. we've only had two games in January, haven't we? What Ian and people do is incredible. We have installed a new drain this year, which has helped the front of the main stand, so it tends to... It was a connection that someone had forgotten to put in when the south stand was constructed 10 years ago. Therefore, the water had nowhere to go. So we've done that. So that's now drawing the water out of the pitch. And yesterday, it looked fine. And unless there's a deluge on Tuesday, then there will be a game, and we'll have three games in a week. you know, you get look at Luton. That Boxing Day game was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Playing in the water. And apparently
that must have done horrible damage to the pitch, though.
The concrete foundations for the artificial pitch underneath the pitch.
Yeah.
So that is going to struggle to recover.
Yeah.
Poor old Braintree. Every week they have working parties trying to get it on. I don't know what they're going to do. Eastleigh was pretty dreadful. The ball didn't even bounce. So it doesn't... It's not conducive to flowing football, is it? The Spurs pitch today, that's struggled. They've got a disease in it. And this is an unfortunate thing now. I just look at pitches and I can see that that has got a disease all down one corner.
Yeah. So that brings us on quite neatly to synthetic pitches. I know that Maidstone are potentially mounting a legal challenge against the conference because they've just had an EGM where the surf, they've been told they can't have it, they want to do it. Yeah. I mean, I know we've had experience. QPR, of course, famously had an artificial pitch. We played at the highest level. I mean, do you think it's a good idea?
I think it is. Interested. I was at the AGM, and Maidstone put a 10-line letter in, trying to change a rule, and an hour and a half was set aside for debate, and they were asked to. If they wanted to stand up in support of their proposal, and they said no, and therefore you would have thought if they were that keen they would have actually got the manufacturers, some people who played on it, coaches, finance people, and put the whole case up, as opposed to saying no, we're all right, you've got the information. And then anybody want to speak against? No, it's okay. And we had a vote. And so it wasn't thought through, and it's back to the lack of professionalism in what you do. And, the trouble is you've got to do it across the piece, haven't you? If you can't, the leagues won't entertain it. So Championship, League One, League Two. So like with us, with aspirations to go up, to spend £500,000 on an artificial pitch and then have to get rid of it within a year because you got promotion, you're not, it's a bit like people voting for it for three up, three down, and they don't in League Two until they get there, don't they?
Yeah.
So, it was, to be honest, if we were at lower league, then you would say yes. If all the leagues said yes, we'll play it, and some championship games, European championship games, are played on artificial, aren't they?
Yeah, Eastern Europe. Yeah, I was going to say in Eastern Europe.
But it needs to be something that the Football Association does as a unit, not say you can do the first three qualifying rounds of the FA Cup on it, but then you have to find grass, so we'd have to go to Histon. Or Histon would have to come to us, or what have you, the logistics of it, until it's made as a unified decision, I think is quite difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously the weather now causes a massive fixture jam, we're in the situation where we don't have another free week, I think Richard was saying now, before the end of the season.
No, that's not quite true.
Isn't it?
There is that England Sea International.
I was going to say, the England week.
First week in March. And there's at least one, if not two, in April.
Yeah.
Where there is...
At the moment, I think, is the qualification
that,
you
but
make.
That is, but that's assuming that we get through the semi-finals. The worst situation is that you'd be playing twice a week. Which isn't ideal, but then if you're winning, I'd rather be playing than training, wouldn't you?
That's true.
They're full-time professionals. They're here, they're here 5 days a week. And if we don't play, we arrange development games against other clubs. Yeah. So, as long as you can avoid problems, then to have a run-up to the season. I feel sorry for the fans, because money is tight. And like this week, we do have Alfreton, Grimsby, Wrexham.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got the three games. On Thursday, people took half days to go to Kidderminster.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, the conference can help it with a trophy and also probably front-ending the fixtures.
So yeah, it does seem to be a little odd to have them. I mean, even before the postponement started, that this January, February, March was always very intensive in terms of of games.
And this time last year, we lost more games because of frozen pitches.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess we've been lucky.
We've lost games because we're successful in the trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only ones we've lost are Braintree and Kidderminster.
I mean, it certainly
is.
I think so, yeah.
I can't think we've lost any more than... we've only lost two games.
Yeah,
due to the weather.
I mean, as a fan, it certainly is frustrating, because... And it's interesting you say we've only lost two games today, because it seems to be... I was only thinking yesterday, I haven't seen a game.
And Grimsby.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the cup.
Yeah.
We were only saying
that, you know, it makes the show very difficult. when there's no football on. there's only a certain amount you can talk about things that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So,
and then logistically, doing three games in a week for the club is extremely taxing, because we haven't got a lot of resource.
Yeah.
You know, so we were open yesterday selling tickets, and quite a few people came in. Because with the Grimsby one, it's an additional competition, so people with the season tickets need to come and buy the tickets.
When is that, by?
I think it's
Tuesday.
Friday lunchtime for season ticket holders, just to make sure that they guarantee the seats. As I say, Grimsby have already got quite a demand for theirs, so what we've got to do is make sure we get as many people there and outshout them.
Yeah, yeah.
And get behind them.
Yeah, definitely.
That's my philosophy.
And the other thing we touched on, the finances, and if we buy away tickets in advance, we actually make money out of it, don't we?
Yeah, if we sell Grimsby tickets, then we get 5%. But more importantly, from a fan's point of view, if you buy Grimsby tickets in advance, you actually save £2 or £3 on each ticket.
Okay, so there's your incentive to go out and get the tickets. Not only do you get them cheaper, but the club benefits from it as well, which is a win-win situation, or a win-win-win when we beat Grimsby.
Of course, absolutely.
And if it's tight after next Saturday, then we want as many people as we can at Grimsby to replicate what we did in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we went up there and... one of our best performances of the season.
Yeah.
Thanks. Were you there?
No, unfortunately.
There's only a part-time support, really.
I was trying to get to Kidderminster this week, twice this week.
In
my defence, I actually wasn't in the country when we played Grimsby last time. Unfortunately, as I'm not going to be for the game on Tuesday, because I'm in... Düsseldorf.
Oh, yeah, right.
Week,
Düsseldorf.
So there you go. And that's why I'm selfishly hoping the game's cancelled because of the weather, because then I don't miss a game.
From a cash flow position, I need it playing. You know, from a team point of view, we need to get going.
Yeah.
And then, get people starting, you know, get into the Abbey habit, because you lose the habit of going to football matches.
And there's a blast from the past, the Abbey habit, haven't
they? Habit.
That was a famous advert for the Abbey
the
National.
Past.
Oh, right. Oh,
get the Abbey habit with Abbey National. Yeah. There you go.
This is it. The Abbey habit. Yeah.
It is definitely that. And I think that was interesting, because one of the things we said at the recent Grimsby game, was it was kind of, people were a bit shell-shocked that they were actually standing in the Abbey watching a game of football, which is interesting. And obviously then, you know, even before, from the start of the game, they were oddly quiet for the large part of the game.
I think there is always expectation and anxiety, isn't there? So, before I came here, I was watching Spurs and... not Spurs, Man United. And there, you could feel there was a nervousness of what was going on, because it's not good, is it?
Yeah.
And Fulham took the lead, and that's when you need the fans to get behind them. You know, my son was there against Grimsby, and he's desperately trying to get the main stand getting, and people weren't you know, they were sort of almost, that's a bit tight, this game, isn't it? You know, we're 1-0 down and then it's 1-1. Yeah, but that's when you need the fans to get behind you. That's what makes a difference. And the players will tell you.
Well, it was interesting because we had the post-match interview with Ian Miller, who's always good value for money, and he was saying after the game, if we knew we were going to lose a game, only one game in the first 15, it would have been much better if we'd lost the fourth or fifth game, and then there wouldn't have been that weight of expectation building up all the way through.
Well, it's like Man City. Did you bet on Chelsea beating Man City?
Did you bet on Norwich drawing with Man City? No, that was an
important. That's why we love the game, isn't it? And therefore, it's always unpredictable. And you're going to get Southport go to Grimsby and get a draw. Alfred and go to Salisbury, get a draw. So actually, they played another game and they've only got 1 point. So, what will be, will be. What will be will make a difference if we're all as one.
Yeah.
Any company that you work in, where you're all working towards the same goal, and that's a football thing, you see, you actually succeed.
Yeah.
And we need to support these players over the next few weeks as we strive to do the double.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So finally,
Cup and League double.
Yeah, that'll be
great.
Here
we go.
Yeah. So just closing off then, you mentioned we've talked about shareholders, we've talked about the ownership of the club, AGM coming up in...
3rd of March.
Yeah. And anything interesting that we know coming up in there?
No, it will show another loss, and a hefty loss, but it'll also show what we're doing about it and how this year we're... Yeah, we should hopefully get towards break even. On the message board, there's some guy, I hope he's not a businessman, who's actually worked out we've made £500,000 profit so far this year. If he is listening and he can come and explain that to me, I would be fascinated to know how he gets those calculations. Football at this level is a loss maker.
Yeah.
Whichever way you look at it, and whether it's St Neots, whether it's Histon, whether it's most of the clubs in the conference, none of them make a profit. And that's why you need success in competitions, and that's why you try and build up a body of fans, which we're doing. We're getting more and more youngsters in. And if people prefer the negatives and, I don't want to cut the Tin Pot Cup, don't bother. If you just want to come and be negative about what's happening, don't bother. I'll replace you with people that want to come.
Yeah. Excellent. And on that note, we'll take a break and we'll come back with one game that was on. We'll talk about Histon. But thanks very much, Dave, for joining us.
Pleasure to come in when you're in trouble.
We had to keep our best behaviour after last week. So, thanks very much, Dave. I'm sure we'll catch up with you later on in the season.
I'm sure we will.
Listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things Histon.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city, there's a village green. I last set eyes on the church with the steeple down by the village green.
So the only game of the week, or the only game of the week, never mind the weekend that made it, was the Histon game. Let's just, before we start on that, we had such a long conversation with Dave, which was fantastic, because otherwise we'd have been really stuck. we're going to struggle to get everything in, but I want to start off with, and thanks to the website, and I think it was actually Cambridge, BBC Radio Cambridge. I've got some audio of Brian Page after the Boston lost 2-1, I think they lost at Boston, looking forward to the game this weekend, the Vauxhall Motors game up at Ellesmere Port. So we'll listen to that and then we'll come back and talk about the game itself.
Another good team performance, another dominating display between the two boxes, but giving away a sloppy goal to start off with and missed numerous chances to put the game to bed.
It seems like you're doing a lot of things right as a team, especially box to box, but that cutting edge is missing and it's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, it's it seems that way at the moment. We've been looking for a just an out and out goal scorer. Difficult to find with the resources we've got. Again today, had another one turn us down to go somewhere else. You know, because they can just pick up more money elsewhere. But we'll keep trying. You know, it's not about how many times you get knocked down. It's about how many times you get up. So we'll continue to go. We'll continue fighting. If you look at the position we're in, this time last year, I believe we're still in the relegation zone. We're out of the relegation zone and very close to being mid-table. So we'll continue battling, continue playing the way we're playing, creating the chances. I'm sure someone's going to take a few soon.
How frustrating has it been? Because you say people are going to places for more money and the results haven't been great of late, so that makes the club possibly less attractive to especially the youngsters maybe. But it must really, really get on your nerves.
We are in the position we're in. So I'm not going to moan about it. I'm not going to whine about it. I'm going to deal with the situation and make the best of what we've got. Because, you know, if we start feeling sorry for ourselves, start moaning and whining about it, you know, the problem's only going to get worse. So, you know, we're going to stay positive. As a club, we're doing okay. As a team, we're doing fine. We're playing well. We're performing well. I'm happy with the performance levels of the players. So there's no problem in my eyes. We've just got to continue to work, continue to believe in what we're doing, and hopefully, you know, somebody who is in good form will just step up to the plate and tuck away some of these chances, and then, you know, we'll all have big smiles on our faces once again.
How are you looking injury-wise this weekend? Looking at the weather, it looks like quite a lot of people might possibly have an enforced weekend off, but how's the squad looking?
Yeah, the squad's actually bearing it really, really well. I'm really happy with the way the injuries have gone, touch wood, so far, because we haven't had that many. You know, Michael Bilt's now back in training. He come through training on Monday night very, very well and actually looked really good. So at the moment, we've just got to get him up to match speed, and we don't want to force him back into the squad when he ain't ready. So there's just using the opportunity to come back from his hamstring injury, and everyone else is fit and raring to go.
How long do you give Eugene before he's ready?
It's a difficult one because, you know, we think he's close and then he starts to tighten up again. So it's just a matter of just playing that one and seeing how it goes without rushing him back. But I'm sure Nick, the sports therapist, will get him back as soon as we can.
So that was Brian Page after the Boston game, before this weekend's game. They, of course, came off, I think it was Gloucester home and away that they had cancelled as well. They went through, after we spoke to him after the Christmas New Year show, where we had quite a long interview with him, they obviously went through quite a purple patch and ended up, I think, they were getting up to 16th, 17th in the league, but they've had the Stockport game, which they should have won, but didn't. They went down against Boston, and yesterday, obviously, a fairly emphatic 4-0 win for Vauxhall Motors. Although it's interesting that, depending on where you read this, obviously none of us saw the game, but the Vauxhall website, which you would expect to be fairly partisan, was you know, it was a complete annihilation, we destroyed them, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
The non-league paper is a bit more upbeat about it, but still it was an emphatic win and a lot of control. But Histon nearly went in the lead 16 minutes in, a 20-yard effort from Freeman, which hit the keeper, picked it up, fumbled. Fortunately for him, fumbled it onto the post. And you were saying they hit the crossbar as well.
Just a few minutes later, yeah, you can always tell it's not going to be your day, can't you, when the keeper fumbles it, hits the post, and then back into his hands again. That's always a bad sign, isn't it, when that doesn't go in. The strange thing is, and, you know, I listened to Brian Page after the game. He was completely shell-shocked. He was adamant that they really didn't deserve to be 4-0 on the receiving end of a 4-0 loss. And yet, they could have been 1-2-0 up before Vauxhall even scored their first.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten his name, sorry, but the Vauxhall manager, Brian Page, said he overheard him talking to his assistant saying, "How Histon haven't scored at least one today, I've no idea." You know, yeah. So it was a much tighter game than 4-0 suggests. But unfortunately, these things happen don't they, in football? You know?
Yeah, and there does. It leaves them in a certain amount of trouble. Obviously, they're now, I think, two above promotion. two above relegation. Although they do have, I think, there's a 4 or 5 point gap between the bottom three clubs and the next two. And as Brian pointed out in that interview, this time last year they were either firmly in relegation position, yeah, and they came up, as Tom called it, the squeaky bum end of the season. So, obviously, they're still looking to put that form together that they picked up after the Colwyn Bay defeat, where they put together that run of games. They have got a bit of a cushion, but hopefully, as I say, I'm hoping to get down to see a Histon game when we were all set up for Gloucester and it never happened. Yeah. Trying to get down to a Gloucester to a Histon game and get Brian on the show again, just to talk about where things are. But hopefully for them, the season will turn round. So our other two clubs, Cambridge City, obviously didn't play, and St Neots managed to avoid defeat by playing. Well, actually, no, to be
and
fair,
drawing and winning.
To be fair, I was going to say they've been doing quite well recently. So we'll talk about St Neots.
Indeed. Yeah.
Go on then.
Yeah,
no over to you, Chris.
Thank you. Despite the best efforts of everyone down on the south coast with Froome yesterday, the game was postponed. Luckily, saved everyone from St Neots a long trip. A long pointless trip by calling it off very early. I suppose when you look at their current situation, St Neots, they're fourth from bottom, which is not... You can't really butter that any nice way, really. Fourth from bottom is fourth from bottom, isn't it, really? But I suppose you can put a slight gloss on it, though. 14 points clear of third from bottom, which is Bedford Town. Haven't actually played one game less than Bedford, so... Things have certainly been going in the right direction since Gary King and Zema Abbey took over in October, November. The form has certainly taken a massive upturn, which is always good. And the weird thing is, with the way things were going at the start of the season, the football was good, but there was just no end product. And obviously, I know that is the case, it's the case across the board, with all football teams. It can sometimes happen, but with St Neots in those opening few months, it just seemed to be happening more often than not. They'd be doing all this wonderful passing flowing football and then the opposition would get it and score. just the way it seemed to happen week in, week out. But now there's actually some end product, and they're finishing in the final third, or the composure and the quality of the finishing in the final third is a lot better now. And I think the fact they've got Nathan Abbey in goal has really helped. He's, an experienced pro, obviously the brother of Zema. So having a reliable keeper at the back has certainly helped. And they're now getting a more consistent 11, or starting 11 as well, which is also
because
really
that was
helping.
One of the problems early on.
Absolutely.
In the league, in the season, that they seem to be playing, they probably had about 400 people in the first 6 weeks played for one of those.
It was absolutely crazy, the amount of players. It is crazy, the amount of players they have had over the course of this season, but there seems to be now more often than not a settled starting 11, which is good. Moving on to the game on Saturday, hopefully, if it goes ahead, it's going to be at home to Burnham FC. Now they've had a horrid time over the past few weeks with poor old Burnham. Their form has taken a right nosedive. Their manager and five first team players, including the goalie, left literally 24 hours before the game against Cambridge City a few weeks ago. And since then, their form has just been dreadful. They lost 7-2 away at Cambridge City. They then drew at home 1-1 to Bashley, who were bottom of the league with like 5 points. So when you can't beat a team who's bottom with 5 points, I think that's quite telling. Then they were at home again, this time St Albans. Better performance, 3-2. I've seen St Albans this season, very, very good team. And then they were away at Biddeford, lost 4-0. And then they were in the Cup. They lost 7-3 away at Hungerford. And then the game yesterday was against home to Chesham was postponed. So hopefully this is a good time to play them from a Saints point of view. They haven't won a game since before the Cambridge City match. So hopefully they can score a few goals and increase that 14-point gap that they've got over Bedford in the bottom three.
Excellent, excellent. So there we go. And despite having only one game, we've not only managed to fill an hour, we're actually almost running over. So hopefully next week we'll have plenty to talk about football-wise, and all good news, of course, from all of the local teams. Join us again next week. Don't forget you can contact us on terraces@cambridge105.fm. You can text us on 07919 070490 or go to the website on the right-hand side of the page, the contact us, and that will put an email, call it what you will, into the studio, which we can then read out. From myself, Tim, and from Chris,
indeed, thank you very much,
and thanks very much for joining us. And